Well, I'll tell you what, we've been led through music, through God's word for these younger voices in us. And can we just give them a round of applause just for having the courage to step up here? It's always great to see the courage that some of our young ones have to stand in front of others and to, you know, preach the good news. And what a refreshing thing that is. We just had child dedication also, and I love child dedication. Child dedication for me is a wonderful time, and it's a time where I often think of my own family and everything. This is a picture of me with my son, and I'm going to ask BK if you can bring your group up here. BK's got some of the younger ones are going to help us also to line the stage up here with mouse traps, okay? So they're going to be putting mouse traps up here on stage, and you'll see why in a little bit. But child dedication reminds me of, you know, when we had our boys. Our oldest is 23, our youngest is 20. When we had our first son, John, we were at a doctor's appointment, and they were like, you should probably get to the hospital. So we went home, changed clothes, ate meal, and then went to the hospital. Now, they didn't say you should go now. They just said you should probably go sometime today. So anyway, we went, and my wife developed preeclampsia. So John was born with an emergency C-section at 27 weeks, 6 days. He was 2 pounds, 1 ounce when he was born. He dropped to 1 pound, 12 ounces was his lowest weight. And there were days where went in to visit where they asked us not even to reach in the incubator to touch him because he was struggling and needed his energy to become bigger. Now, to think about it, these used to be 5 pounds, bags of sugar. Now they're 4 pounds, same price, but anyway. So this is 2 of him. He was 2 pounds, 1 ounce when he was born, and then he dropped to 1 pound, 2 ounces. Now, he was in the NICU for a little over 10 weeks, and pretty much, for the most part, he had to grow. That was the big thing. When we brought him home from the hospital, he was on a monitor that was monitoring him, his heart rate and his breathing, and he was on oxygen 24 hours a day for the first 6 months of his life. I can remember when we brought him home that first night, and the alarm went off. We went there, he was breathing. If he's breathing, his heart's going and things like that. He just, you know, a lead fell off or something and things. But I remember thinking, the hospital trusts us with this little one? What? We're not ready for this. We don't know what to do. What are we going to do? And I think that's an experience a lot of parents feel. So we, you know, continued to raise him and things like that. And 3 years later, Josiah was born. Beth developed preeclampsia again. He was born at 32 weeks. He was 4 pounds, 2 ounces, emergency C-section. He was fine. He just needed to grow a little bit also. He was only in the hospital a little bit. But there was a problem. When we brought him home, there was no monitor. There was nothing to tell us if his heart stopped or if he stopped breathing. It was like we were all new again. You know, it's like, but there's no monitor. What do we do? How do we know? And like I said, I think a lot of parents can feel like that at times, that we're not prepared, that, you know, that am I qualified to do this? Am I ready to do it? But parents know that you are strategically placed to raise your children. And what a wonderful thing it is. And when you raise your children, I mean, we all know if you like a certain sports team, your children will probably grow up liking that sports team, at least for a little bit until they get to teenage years. And then they might want to say, no, I like the team that you don't like. But if you like a certain destination for vacation, they probably will grow up liking it. It's a wonderful thing to see happen. And even parents who don't feel qualified, God is using in a very strategic, a very wonderful manner. Today, We are continuing this series on making the shift. Today, we are talking about sheep to shepherd. Now, for sheep to shepherd, what does that mean? I mean, we have Psalm 23, which is a wonderful scripture that tells us about Jesus, or about the Lord being our shepherd. It says, "The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." What a wonderful picture of Jesus being there to comfort us, that we could rest in knowing that he will not lead us astray, that he will guide us, that he will direct us, that he is there to nudge us. His rod and his staff, they comfort us because they will guide us. They will navigate us. It's a wonderful passage. And not only is heaven our reward, but our reward is also right here on earth now. If we follow his nudgings, if we follow his path, then life here is so much better. John 10 is a great passage for you to read, a time where it also talks about Jesus being a shepherd. It describes some wonderful things of him being in the gatekeeper. You can kind of picture him sleeping in the gate so no bad guys will get through. That he calls his sheep by name, that his sheep know his voice. You see, things of this world can release their stronghold on us when we follow the paths of the Lord. And what a wonderful thing that is, when we follow the paths of the Lord. Jesus is our shepherd. Jesus is our comforter. He is there to guide us, to direct us. He is there all the time. All we have to do is ask and follow his lead. But what does it mean, the sheep to shepherd? That's good, guys. You guys did great. You could just leave them all right there. That's super. So what does it mean to be a sheep to shepherd? I mean, if we're a sheep, if we're following the Lord, if he is our shepherd, what does it mean for him? Well, what does it mean for us to be a sheep? And then a shepherd, what does that mean? You see, now here's a picture of a shepherd. You'll see a shepherd, I searched the internet. I couldn't find a picture of a shepherd, besides a German shepherd, without sheep. I mean, a shepherd is always with their sheep. They are always with them. Now, a few months ago, actually it's probably almost a year ago, we have our clothes dryer stop drying the clothes. It would still go through, but it stopped drying the clothes. It's 18 years old. And my wife and I were thinking, do we buy a new one? Do we call the repairman? I searched YouTube. What a great place. There search videos with our make and model and things like that. And, you know, there was this guy in a white coat who was, you know, had all these tools and these, you know, hooking up this monitor and that monitor to figure things out. And it was very helpful. It was great to see him succeed and things like that. But the most helpful video was this guy in a t-shirt with a screwdriver who's just going through and saying, you know, you could try this. I tried this. Oh, this worked for me. I was like, if he could do it with just a screwdriver, why not? So I was able to fix it. I was able to replace the heating element in our clothes dryer. Now dries clothes again. This summer, I did the same with our ice maker. Same thing. I watched videos, and there were some guys with all the tools, all the monitors, all the things. It's great to see. But the one that helped me the most was, once again, a person with just household common items that was able to fix it. And that helped me fix it as well. You see, sometimes it's great to see somebody who's made it, but sometimes it's helpful to see somebody who is just right there. BK, can you grab a volunteer or two and things? And we'll just have them close their eyes and everything. You see, in life, it can be great to have, you know, to see that person succeed. But sometime in life, go ahead, BK, you can lead them through. Guys, go ahead, close your eyes. He's going to give you some instructions there, okay? And he's going to lead you through these mousetraps here. Yeah, we'll see how this goes and stuff. So, you see, it can be helpful to see somebody succeed, to see somebody who knows how to do everything. But sometimes it can be most helpful when there's somebody that is just a little bit ahead of you, who is going through life and maybe, you know, they step on a trap once in a while or something like that, but is helping to lead them through the traps of life. Because there are many things in life that could trip us up. There's many things in life that can entrap us, make us step on something we don't want to step on. There's many things in life that can do that. And to have somebody that's just one or two steps ahead of us can be a huge thing. You see, Jesus tells us that we are to lead others. When the disciples were there with Jesus, Jesus sent the disciples out two by two to go to heal, to cast away demons. They came back. Jesus was debriefing with them. And hey, good job. Give them a round of applause. Thank you very much. Good job, guys. Jesus is debriefing the disciples. And what does he say? He's like, yeah, okay, let's go aside here and you be by ourselves. Well, you know, the crowds gathered and things like that. And as we heard the scripture, you know, the disciples are like, there's a couple thousand people here. Can we send them away so they can go get food because the local McDonald's is closed and we don't have enough food here and things. And what did Jesus say? He said, you feed them. Here they were just going out, healing people, casting out demons. Did Jesus need to use his disciples to do that? If Jesus has the ultimate power, did he need to use his disciples to cast out demons, to heal other people? Or did he want to use his disciples to do that? He tells them, you feed them. And they're like, what? And so they bring some fish and some loaves and they're multiplied and fed and all that. Jesus said, you give them something to eat. You give them something to eat. Now, I don't know if you're like me. I kind of have a perfectionist syndrome. Like, I don't like to mess up. Like, if I'm playing sports, I like to make every shot. If I create something like a balloon sculpture, a lot of you know I do balloons, you might think it's wonderful. I see all the faults in it. I'm like, oh, that could be a little bigger. That could be a little smaller. I should have done this, should have done that. If I create a video, sometimes it could take me forever because I want it to be perfect and things. You might have that perfectionist syndrome that I do, but you know what? I'm not perfect. I hate to tell you, you're not perfect. Maybe we should all say, I am not perfect. I mess up. You see, in elementary school upstairs, we have snacks on Sunday. We have snacks on Wednesday. And without a doubt, there's not a week that goes by that we don't have somebody spilling their snack. Their snack, their cup of water, it happens. So what we're learning to do is, I spilled my water. If spilled on somebody or something, we apologize. But we go get paper towel, we come, we clean it up, and then we go fill our water up again. We're learning to admit our mistakes and to apologize, to make things right, because we're all not perfect. And, you know, that's a good thing. It's a good thing that we're not perfect, because then it's not about us. You see, when we are called to be a shepherd, and I know some of you are already thinking, oh, is this something new I've got to do? Do I got to lead a group? Do I need to do something? The good answer is no. No, you see, you are already a part of a group. You have, instead of a flock, I'll call it circles. You are already a part of a circle. Maybe it's a circle that goes out to eat once a week. Maybe it's a circle that gets together to do crafts. Maybe it's a bowling league. Maybe it's people you work with. You are already part of a group of people or several groups that you're looking at each other and encouraging each other. You're already a part. A shepherd smells like their sheep. You know that if so-and-so talks really loud, that's just who they are. And you've already gotten past that, and you love them for who they are, and you don't judge them for that. The cool part is that you're already a part of a circle. You're already a part. And we're not saying, hey, you need to be the leader of the group deciding, hey, we're going here for dinner, we're going to play this game, we're doing this, we're going to meet on this night. No. What we're saying is Jesus wants us to be the spiritual shepherds. He wants us to, if somebody's having a bad day, maybe we can start out by after the meeting, after the group gets together, we can go and say, hey, you know what? You said you ran into this trouble today. Is there anything specific I could pray for? And if they give you a list, you pray for them, and then you follow up before the next meeting. You can start that way. Or maybe you had a really rough week, and the only way that you got through the week was by, you know, you're reading the scripture or prayer or worship songs. You can introduce that to the group, just saying, hey, you know what? My week was rough, and the only way I made it is because of my relationship with the Lord, because I was reminded of these truths through this worship song. You can start small. You're encouraging them. Just like child dedication. Did you hear those vows? The final vow. Will you endeavor to provide a Christian home and atmosphere for your children, to encourage them towards faith in Jesus Christ and grow in Christ-like character, and to diligently involve them in the life of the church? It wasn't, do you promise to bring them to the Lord? Do you promise that they will be saved? No, we can't do that. We can't transform anyone, but we can create an atmosphere, or help create an atmosphere, or introduce them to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And how wonderful is that? The responsibility is not on us to transform them at all. No, we just need to point them to Jesus. You know, here's a compass, always points to the North Pole. Well, Jesus is our ultimate compass, always pointing to God. But we're like a compass also. We could always be pointing people to Jesus. And how awesome that is. We don't have to be the main leader. We don't have to be perfect. I mean, if we think we have to be perfect, look at, you know, Peter. What happened to Peter? Jesus is there, and, you know, he's on trial. And, hey, aren't you with him? No, I'm not with him. Hey, don't you know that guy? No, not me. Hey, aren't you involved with him? No, I'm not involved with him. Get away from me. Peter denies Jesus 3 times when Jesus is suffering. We know that Jesus was crucified, dead, buried. 3 days later, he arose again. Short time later, he's there on the shore. The disciples are in a boat. Jesus says, hey, cast your net on that side. They cast their net on that side, explodes with fish, and Peter's like, oh, that happened before. That's Jesus. One of the funniest parts of the Bible, Peter puts on his cloak and does a Forrest Gump and jumps right in the water and goes to shore to Jesus with this heavy cloak on. He gets there, and what happens? Jesus makes breakfast for them, and then Jesus comes to Peter and says, hey, do you love me? Yes, then feed my lambs. Hey, do you really love me? Yeah, then feed my sheep. No, take care of my sheep. Do you love me? Well, yes, Jesus, you know I love you. Feed my sheep. Peter is restored in this, but the way he's restored, feed my lambs, the youngest, begin to point them towards the nutrition that they need, point them towards Jesus, take care of my sheep, maybe provide for some physical things that they need in their life, take care of them, and then feed my sheep. provide them spiritual nutrition. Point them to me. Feed my lambs. Take care of my sheep. Feed my sheep. Jesus isn't looking for perfection. He's looking for people who are open and willing to be used by him. The disciples weren't perfect. Did Jesus need to use the disciples? No, but he did. And it was a privilege to be a disciple, to be able to be used by Jesus to transform those around us. And if we allow Jesus to transform us, to put the truths in us, he can allow us to transform the world around us, to be a part of that. And if you're unsure of doing that in your circle, if you're unsure, contact one of the leaders here at church. We'll gladly plug you into a ministry, kids, youth, whatever, so that you can learn to be a shepherd of others. You could see what it's like to be a part of that. And teens, this goes for you too, because you know what? These kids are looking up to you, and I'm old, but you're like a rock star. So they're looking for you, and you have the opportunity to lead others, because 2 Timothy was a young man, but don't let anyone look down on you because you're young, but set an example for believers in life and love and faith and impurity. You see, we just need to be one or two steps ahead of those we're leading. We don't need to have accomplished it. We don't need to be the victory and, yay, I made it through life. That's great, and that's an important part. But it's also an important part to be bringing some along with us. We need to be one or two steps ahead so we can help navigate this crazy thing called Earth, and we can help others navigate it too and not step on any earthly traps that the enemy puts out there. Worldliness is one. Jesus is looking for disciples to become shepherds. Who's in your circle? Take out your phone, put a note, who's there? Write it on a 3x5 card. Who's already in your circle? You don't have to do something new. Who are you already spending time with? He's looking for disciples to become shepherds because the problem with the world is that so many people are like sheep without a shepherd. It all begins when you hear a familiar voice of the shepherd saying, those people over there, they are like sheep without a shepherd. You feed them. You feed them. Let's pray. Precious Father, Lord, I thank you so much, Father. Lord, I thank you for, Lord, the blessings that you've given us, Lord, the way that you are our shepherd. And Father, even those of us in the room, Lord, who might be newer to the faith or just checking it out, Lord, I hope that we can all remember, Father, Lord, that you are our shepherd. And Lord, we can just rest in knowing that you will guide us, that Lord, you will use your rod and staff not to beat us up, but Lord, to nudge us where we need to go and to nudge us away from the traps that we need to move away from. Father, help us, Lord, help us to have the confidence, Lord, to depend upon you, to follow your voice. And Lord, help us to have the privilege of being one of your disciples and being a part of transforming those around us. Lord, in your name we pray. Amen.